Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
You're listening to globaltalkradio.com.
The following program is provided for informational purposes only. The views and opinions expressed during the show do not necessarily reflect those of the station or the host. There are no guarantees to the information presented in this material, and the claims and results of any cannot be guaranteed. As always, you should consult with a professional before making any decisions that may impact your legal, financial, or medical well-being. This recording is copyrighted, all rights reserved. No portion may be used or reproduced in any way without express written permission.
The reality of dreams are a doorway to unlimited imagination. Open your mind to the possibilities around you. I'm Kevin Doyle, along with my co-host Brian Ladd, and our special guest, Lainey Dolphin. This is Dream Talk. Okay, well, it's been another week, Brian. Anything been going on with you?
Well, I'm working a lot, and son's having little problems in school getting along with other kids, so... I met with him today.
Okay. Well,
we had a little discussion about that, about keeping his hands to himself. Other than that, the baby's doing fine, and Brandon's doing fine, and all the 8 puppies are doing fine, and they're about ready to open their eyes. Today's the 10th day.
Have you found anybody to...
I found a lot of people that want some puppies.
Okay. Lainey should be dialing in here any minute. I understand that you have to take off early, which is okay. So what I'm going to do, as soon as she gets on, I'll start letting you talk to her until you got to take off.
Sure, that's fine.
And other than that...
How was your week, Kevin?
Oh, it was pretty good. Did a lot of tow calls. It's a pretty interesting job when you're working 24/7.
I would imagine. You get a lot of your calls on the weekends, don't you?
Sometimes.
Late at night.
Last weekend I did. So it's amazing how many DUIs happen at any time of the day or night. But it's a different job. Not too many people can do it.
Okay, we're waiting for a caller, or?
Yeah, I believe we're waiting on Lainey Dolphin.
Okay.
And as far as, have you had any dreams lately? I think we were talking the other night about it.
Yeah, I think what we wanted to do with this, the dream interpreter, is we were going to discuss some of my dreams and some of your dreams and possibly a few dreams of our readers.
Okay.
And she was going to maybe interpret that.
You were telling me last night that you had some dreams about aliens and UFOs?
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't last night. It was the night before. Actually, last night I didn't have any dreams. At least...
Wait.
Oh.
Hello?
Hello, Lainey. Welcome to Dream Talk.
Hi.
We're live on the air. Brian's going to have to skedaddle here early, and what I'm going to do is let him talk to you, and we'll go ahead and just start the show right there. Brian?
Hey, thanks for coming on, and I know you probably just got the word.
Yeah, I did. How are you doing, Brian?
Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Are you going to be going to your conference pretty soon in Canada?
Oh, yeah.
The conference is happening July 8th to 12th.
Okay.
It'll be next summer.
Okay.
And I'm busy working on it now because I'm hosting it.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I heard you're going to have a dress-up contest.
It's the International Association for the Study of Dreams,
mm-hmm.
And every year we have a conference that gathers doctors and researchers from all over the world, and... every different kind of discipline that there is about looking at dreams from every different country gather together that one time a year. And so traditionally, the last evening of the conference is a dream ball where we hire a band and we have a big dance and everybody comes as some character from someone in their dreams.
Yeah, Bob Sandy Castle gave us a really good description of that event and everything that, that goes on for the conference.
Uh-huh, that's great.
He gave us a lot of information on our last episode of Dream Talk.
We were actually wondering, before the people go to this the costume ball part, do they know what each other's going to be dressed up as?
No.
So, and we were wondering how many people you get showing up like in the same costume.
Not too many. Doesn't
really
happen too often. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was a witch, and I think there were only two of us there. But the costumes were completely different, like really completely different.
And he was also talking about you do remote sendings, as far as, you know, we had one person in one
room. The dream telepathy contest.
Yeah, to me, that's we wanted to talk more about that, but we didn't have the time. I'd find that kind of stuff really fascinating.
Yeah, and I don't know if you had gotten my email or not, but I sent you an email because I wanted to invite you complimentary to be a part of the cyber contest, to be a part of the, I should say, the cyber conference that happens with the Dream Association. And I think the cyber conference is actually starting next week.
I think I got that email. I've just been flooded with emails, and
You would love that, and a big, big piece of that conference has to do with PSI dreaming.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And well, I was just going to say to you, but in the summer conference, which doesn't take place on the internet, it takes place in person, then Bob Van de Castle has been known for years and years to host the Dream Telepathy Contest. But the cyber contest has, like, a serious focus on PSI dreaming.
Mm-hmm. Now, the one locally, the one you do, in the wherever the conference is going to be, isn't that, like, two separate rooms, and then you basically have a computer in one room, and they view something on the screen, and then they try to pick up on cues from that of what the other person is seeing?
The Dream Telepathy Contest is that somebody is chosen as the sender or volunteers to be the sender, and on the last night of the conference, and the conference, by the way, takes place in a different city of the world every year, and this coming summer, the reason I'm hosting it is because it's going to be in Montreal, Canada, because that's where I'm from, but we've had them all over the world, and what will happen is on the second to last night of the conference, they'll show the sender they show the sender one picture, and that sender keeps the picture in an envelope under their pillow, and they think about it and think about it and think about it, and some senders even wake up in the middle of the night to make sure to sit up in bed and try and transmit by thought the picture that they have.
Yeah, I would love to get involved in something like that.
Yeah, and then when we come to breakfast in the morning, mm-hmm. there's a big box, and they'll have like four or five or six pictures, and you choose the picture, you choose the image that you think was the sender's. And then also you have to write the dream that you had down on a paper so that we can see whose dream was closest to the sender.
Have you had any, like, let's say, like, dead-on matches?
We have dead-on matches every year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. Bev Durso, who's, like, an amazing lucid dreamer herself, and has worked with Stephen LaBerge, and she's, like, I think one of the most well-known lucid dreamers that there is out there. And so I know she's won the contest lots of times.
Yeah, now, and I know something like this happens all the time, and you know, there's people that can do it, and I think I can do it. But then I see a lot of reports and a lot of skeptics saying, well, you know, it's just coincidence, and that's, you know.
No, but when you hear the dream, yeah. then you know that it's not a coincidence. That
yeah, I'm all for you, but it just, there's I've seen a study on that. And, you know, even though, to me, there was no possible way. I mean, the person could have gotten this any other way. could just because of all the things that matched up. But you know, a lot of people say, well, it's just it's either coincidence or they were cued somehow on a you know a certain object or something like that.
No. But yeah, but I know that it's not because they conduct that study. They do that contest every year under there's only two people who know what's in the picture.
Mm-hmm. How then do they explain what happens? I mean, I know there's a lot of PhDs there, and there's a lot of people that don't have the open mind, I guess, to believe in you know telepathic sending and stuff like that. So what are they then? Give an explanation. What is their explanation for that?
I think that most of the people there, even the doctors and scientists, appreciate that there's definitely something going on.
There you go. That's what I'm saying. If we got PhDs, we got people that spend their entire life studying stuff like this, the scientific approach, and they agree that this is true. Why isn't this a bigger deal? I mean, this is to me, it's a major breakthrough. If people, you know. I mean, just think of what we can do with this.
No, 100%. I agree with you, and that's why IASD started doing the cyber conference, mm-hmm. because the specific focus of the cyber conference is completely PSI dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that subject.
Yeah,
but I'm not like an expert on that subject.
Uh-huh.
My niche is specifically about decoding. Why you had that dream last night and attaching it to the issue that you're trying to work out in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't have a lot of experience with PSI dreaming. I haven't done a lot of studying about that.
Yeah. Last week, we basically talked, like, on, I guess, the scientific approach to it, you know, and how people's dreams generally, are something that happened to you during the day or something you were thinking about or something that you saw before you went to bed. And we skipped the whole area about, you know, why do I have and why do a lot of the people have dreams that are completely nothing related to, you know, what we know about. Or, like I said, I've had dreams in foreign languages. I mean, actually written in foreign languages. And I can't
wow.
Understand. You know?
Yeah.
I say, well, this is in Chinese or Tibetan. And I said, well, I don't know how to write that, let alone speak it.
Right.
And, you know, and I just think that we're missing something. And a lot of people out there, I guess, are taking this, well, it's just coincidence or something and we're passing by something that I think is really, really important.
Right. But there are people in the association that is their niche, and that's the area that they focus on. And when the show's over, if you like, I can look on the internet of our membership and choose a couple of people for you that would be, I'm sure, happy to talk with you about that discussion.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to. It's just the thing is, we still have, there's a lot of people out there that really don't believe this stuff's possible. I mean, because they think the thing is, well, why don't I see it every night on TV if it's not possible? Well, I don't know why. I mean, I guess there are just so many skeptics out there. There are so many, I guess, news reporters that don't want to report something like this just because they feel they might get in trouble for it or something. I mean, this is a big deal if you think about it.
It's a very big deal as far as I'm concerned. Even accessing your dreams for the purpose of problem solving is a very
oh,
big
yeah.
deal. It's all a big deal.
I just wonder why, you know, to me, I'm amazed by, you know, just my own dreams, and, you know, and even when I put everything out there, still I guarantee that, you know, 80% of the people don't believe it. You know, like I said, I had a hard time believing it, and it's just, to me, it's really important. I just don't know why we just don't see more on it, like on TV and documentaries and stuff like that.
I agree with you. It's, but I have really a lot of firm belief that once it does get out there, because I do think that it's going to catch on, this business about all the information that you can access from your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's going to happen. And when it does, it's going to catch like wildfire.
It's kind of like, I think I had a dream, and I was joking around about it, but I said it's kind of like the when you're sleeping, you're getting access to the universal World Wide Web or something like that. And I said log-on instructions to follow.
Yeah, really.
I mean, in a way, maybe it is, and you know, maybe we are supposed to connect to the universe and everything that's out there via dreams, maybe like the internet, I guess.
I'm sure. I definitely sure that that's true.
Okay. I think we wanted to talk about dreams, and that's Kevin. Did you want to bring up any dreams, or did you want me to go? Because I had a couple questions I wanted to ask you.
Okay,
I was
go for it.
I was going to talk to you before, but. I don't want to just bring this up, but
I'm just going to interrupt you for one sec, because sure. I just looked on the internet and I see that actually the cyber conference started September 23rd, which is yesterday.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so there's still lots of time for you, for example, like you're a person, I mean, if you want to know about cyber dreaming, Brian, that is absolutely the place that you should go. And I'll be happy to give you a complimentary entrance fee to that conference, and the whole thing happens on the internet.
Okay.
And it runs right through until October 7th. There's different, like they do it with, somebody will write like a paper, and they post that paper online, and you get some chances, you get lots of chances to read the paper that they're presenting on the subject of PSI dreaming, and then you can comment on it, and the discussion takes place online in an open forum at different times of the day. I beg your pardon?
Can you give me the website address again for that?
It's www.asdreams.org.
www.asdreams.org. Okay.
And then I'll take you actually right to the cyber dreaming part, because you can get there from the main page at asdreams.org. But if you wanted to go really right to the cyber dreaming, you would go to asdreams.org/PSI2007, and then another slash.
Okay, I got it. It's right on the homepage, too.
And all the most, I mean, because I was telling you about how my niche is different than those guys,
uh-huh.
Every single presenter at this conference are people who can really educate you and answer all of the questions that you have about precognitive dreaming. They're all there.
Yep.
And they're all, like, available to you from now until October 7th.
Nine articles already posted right there.
I beg your pardon?
There's 669 articles already posted, I guess, as of yesterday.
Really, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. So you've got yourself a whole pile of reading to do, and so do your listeners.
Yeah, time.
And it's not even an expensive venture to go for. I think it's like $25 or something like that, which is why I really wanted to treat you on that.
Okay, well, thank you, and I'll take you up on that.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Okay, dreams. There's one dream I've had. Very few dreams scare me, and one of them, like I said, is UFOs and aliens and stuff like that. I don't know why it scares me, but it does. Maybe because I don't think they're coming in peace.
Uh-huh.
But I've had a recurring dream, and this one is basically on torture. The dream the other night was that I was suspended in some type of old rusty chain, and it was actually hooked around my back somehow and connected to a long steel girder. And it was in some type of dark, rusty warehouse, and I was slowly being lowered down into a vat of, like, a boiling oil, and I could feel the pain, and then I believe I died. That's when I woke up. But it's really, 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 really scary for some reason.
And you said into hot oil.
It's hot. It was hot. First of all, the whole place was dark. It was like a dark warehouse. I mean, rust was everywhere, and I guess the smell of death was around. Apparently, you know, I was in some type of torture room or whatever. Like I've had this dream a lot of times before, and it's changed. The setting has been a little bit different, but it's, I always think it's the same warehouse.
Okay.
And so,
did I talk to you at all about recurring dreams last time? I don't know if I did.
I think you brought it up just for a little bit.
But this is just to tell you, this is the easiest example that I can think of, and I hope I'm not repeating myself to you, but anyway, I'm sure you always get new listeners as well. And that is that we have these favorite expressions that we use in our waking life, don't we? We all have some kind of favorite expression, like I love saying, I would do that in a New York minute, for example. And so, maybe why don't I just stick with that example about I would do that in a New York minute? Because maybe I said I would do that in a New York minute 20 years ago when this good-looking guy, or 25 years ago or something, when some good-looking guy passed by and I said to my girlfriend, boy, if he asked me out on a date, I'd go in a New York minute. Mm-hmm. Okay? And maybe last week, I said that because, somebody, you know, offered me, a trip to Tahiti. And I said, wow, if I could get a trip to Tahiti, I would take it in a New York minute. And so the situations are completely and totally different, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And they're years and years apart from each other, and yet I use the same expression.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe somebody else says, oh, darn it. And they use the expression, oh, darn it, all the time, but each time they're saying, oh, darn it, it's for another reason. And so when we have a recurring dream that comes to us over a period of years, for example, then it's because you're trying to say something to yourself using that metaphor. And so there's a certain feeling that comes to you about this business of being in a dark warehouse and some kind of torture room. And I can imagine that when you have that dream, I'm only saying if I was to have a dream like that in my life, I would probably be having a dream like that during very stressful times in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I can give you a terrific example under which circumstances I might have a dream like this, because we sold our house and bought a new one, and we were unfortunate enough in the last year to have the guy who bought our home is doing renovations, and I guess they're costing him more than he anticipated, and so he's looking for ways for us to subsidize his renovations and is suing us for really and honestly absolutely no reason except to try and get some money, because I guess he's mad about the price he paid for the house or something.
Mm-hmm.
But and then unfortunately, you know, we did some renovations in the new house and are in an altercation with the guy that did the renovations here. So I have, up until very recently, was really stressing myself because of all these strange people that seem to be around me lately, all whom are doing things like suing us, and it's an extremely stressful situation, and I have found myself feeling like I'm slowly being lowered down into hot oil.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Like, it's worse than hot water.
Yeah, but this dream here, I mean, it feels like I'm in a concentration camp, you know, during World War II, or possibly maybe this is going on somewhere, like in South Korea or China. I mean, I feel like, you know, I'm feeling for myself and others. I mean, it's a terrible feeling, but yet I still want to go back and feel that again because I don't understand it.
Well, that's kind of good that you want to go.
Well, yeah, I'm really curious about everything, even though I hate this feeling.
Right.
I still want to, you know, because like I said, I try to write down, and this is one of the hardest ones I have of actually writing down and all that. But I want to figure this out, and I want to, is it me, or am I really picking something up that something really bad is going on, or, you know, I'm sure there's something bad going on, but I certainly hope they're not doing this to anybody.
Just hold on for absolutely one second.
Do you have any thoughts on that, or?
As far as reoccurring dreams, I definitely feel that they mean something.
Yeah, this is just one I just can't.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Here's what I want to say to you. The reason that we have nightmares, Brian, is because there's something going on in our waking life that we are not having an appropriate reaction to.
Okay.
So if there is some, for example, and I just gave you a great example, that I've got these weirdos around me who are suing us for money that we do not have to pay, for example, and if I'm feeling that pressure on the interior of my body and on the interior of my psyche, and I'm walking around trying to make the best of things, which really I was trying to do for a long time. I was walking around saying, it's going to be fine. Oh, my God, it's going to be fine.
Well, you know, actually, it will be. In the long run, everything will be.
I agree with you. It will be. But at the time that I was saying that, about a month ago, I wasn't really feeling it. I was just saying it. And I was denying what I'm really feeling. And that's called being human. Because us humans, really are not that comfortable, and we're not really that in touch with really talking about what we're really, really feeling. And so what'll happen is, because we lie to ourselves during the day, but because your unconscious never lies to you, these extreme dreams, like the one you're describing, come to us, and they are actually a gift. And the reason they're a gift is because that's the place where we actually allow ourselves to experience the experience. And the reason why it comes in such a, such an extreme way, like a concentration camp, is because it depends on how much we're denying talking about what's really going on in our waking life. Because if you're talking about it a bit, then the dreams won't be as extreme. But because we are self-regulating organisms, then whatever it is that you're underreacting to in your waking life, the dream is going to really overreact. And so the question is, which is the poignant question, what do you think it is that goes on in your life recently? Now, I'm not saying that the thing that goes on in your life, by the way, is so torturous. Because, I mean, these idiots that are, like, suing me and looking for money are not, it's not, like, I have my health, you know,
yeah.
And I have a wonderful family, and I have good friends and people around who love me, and I know that I'm going to come through on the other side of this. Like, I know that, but the truth is that about a couple of months ago, I was not really feeling that, what I'm feeling today. I really wasn't feeling so confident that I was going to survive all this pressure.
Yeah.
And that's when you get those big nightmares. And the nightmares are there because they want you to talk out loud about the situation. And the more you talk out loud about it, the less, first of all, the less frightening the situation becomes. And second of all, when you talk about something out loud, then you start brainstorming with people, and you start getting solutions to whatever it is that's giving you the pressure.
Yeah, well, the deal on this is that I'm really, really not sure what this is, and I really don't have nightmares anymore. Once I, like I said, I control my dreams and I generally document everything, and I learned from that. It's this one is just different. It's like a, like I said, I can have this dream if I want to or not. I mean, I'm really still in control of this. It's just, I'm just trying to figure this out on myself, and I'm just wondering, you know, I don't think this is really going on anywhere, but I'm just really, really curious about it. It's not really, like I said, I don't really have nightmares anymore. Once you're able to control your dreams, and you know, like I said, like, you know, learn from them, but this one is just gets to me, and I understand I could be, you know, stressed in my life, but really I've learned to deal with that too. I mean,
well, just the fact that you said that.
Yeah.
That, even that just makes me wonder, because I hope it's okay. I really like being honest with people, mm-hmm. like coming from my gut reaction.
Yeah, well, I try to do that all the time.
And you just said that, what did you say? Could you repeat it again? Because I wish I wrote it down. What did you say about stress in your life?
I've learned, well, first of all, stress isn't real. Like I said, you know, most of the stuff going on in your head is repetitive and not important. But if you can control your stress, you can think about really what is stress and why you'd, like, you know, the answer is, well, don't stress. Just don't.
Well, that explains perfectly why you would have that dream. Because, because you said that you can control stress.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I'm going to agree to disagree with you. I completely disagree with you.
Okay.
Because I don't believe that consciously we have that much control, and I think that you can tell yourself 100,000 times a day that you can control your stress, and stress isn't real, and all that stuff that you just said is exactly why I'm saying to you that when you can't have some days where you say, oh my God, I'm really feeling down.
I do, but then, you know, you can meditate, or you can really think about, well, is this really important, and, you know, what really is, and it goes away.
But I'm telling you, it doesn't go away, and that's the dream.
Okay.
The dream happens
right,
because
yeah.
the dream happens because it doesn't go away. Like I'm a firm believer that the stresses do go away, but the way in which they go away is by acknowledging that the stresses are really there, and maybe talking about them during the day, and that's the part that alleviates.
I do, though. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, I do talk about every dream I have. And
no, I'm not talking about every dream.
No.
I mean, talking about every stress.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this specific dream is just different from the rest. It's just something that's weird about it.
Yeah. Well,
and, yeah, I guess you could say that maybe this is something I can't control, and that's why I'm acting like that.
Yeah, but I think here's the other thing I wanted to say to you. I think that we are really, really sophisticated, and that we are not that our dreams at the first level are, I believe, and I'm only giving you my opinion. I think that our dreams at the first level are always about something that you either thought about yesterday or something that happened to you yesterday.
Oh, you're right.
And I think that we use metaphors about those situations. Sometimes the metaphors we use are from our past, sometimes they're from the present, and sometimes they're from the future. And so, but still, so, you know, you could be, you know, it could be that you were in a concentration camp in some other life.
Oh, that crossed my mind plenty of times.
If that's what you're trying to say,
yeah, well,
I wouldn't argue that point.
First of all, my views on this, I'm not sure about, I can't say for sure about anything. I don't know if reincarnation exists or a lot of things. Like I said, I just don't know. But if it does exist, then possibly that might explain it.
Yeah, or the other thing
right
that
now,
could... I'm sorry?
I said, or something like that's actually going on right now, but I just...
Exactly.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah, well, I also certainly hope not. But I think that both of those things may be true, but it's still also true that it's not, for me, it's not an accident
yes.
that particular dream comes to you at a certain particular time in your life.
I want to agree with on one thing. When I do first fall asleep, generally the first dream that I'll have, it does usually have something to do with what happened to me, you know, through the day or something like that I was thinking about. And I'm aware of that, though.
Because it's literal. You mean it's literal.
Yeah, but I think the farther you get into REM sleep or whatever, for me is when I have dreams that just are not related to me.
Mm-hmm.
At least to me in this life, if you want to look at it like that.
Right. I haven't really found a lot of that. I find that dreams, as I say, were very sophisticated. And while I do believe that dreams also have to do with other people and with the world and with, you know, and that they're precognitive sometimes, and sometimes they also have to do with other people, I also think that there is always an element of the dream that comes from your unconscious that deals with you on a personal level as well. And I come into the dream world. In what I do is I deal with the aspect of the dream that has to do with the individual.
Another good way, I think, I use this a lot of times, when you're dreaming, try to imagine that, let's say you're not really in the dream. Look at yourself like you're floating above your bed, looking down into your head, and you're looking at that person dreaming. And I think in some way, I don't know how to explain it, but that's actually who we are. Like what I'm saying is, like, who are you? You're not your brain, and you're not your thoughts. I think you're the observer of all this stuff. That's the way I look at me, and possibly I think that me being actually everybody in the universe.
Right.
I don't, it's kind of hard to put that into words, but that's kind of the way I think. And of course, I could always be wrong. But like I said, one thing I always do is I always keep an open mind toward everything, because I don't know. I mean.
Well, that's why I think that there's layers going on.
Yeah.
Because for me, looking at the layers respects the fact that there are other things, because I do think that there are other things going on. I think that the images that come to us are not by an accident, and sometimes they're a piece of something that's an event that's going to happen, and sometimes they're events that happened before that didn't necessarily happen to us in our life. Like a memory of someone else's past can get into the mix of the images that come into our dream, but I still think that on, I don't think that we're disconnected from our dreams. I think they always also have something to do with us and our personal life.
We've had psychics on, and you know, a lot of psychics are able to do, you know, either see into the future or current events or remote viewing that.
Right.
That I'm only able to do at during a dream. So what I'm saying is that these people actually have gone beyond that, and they were born with the ability to do. Maybe that's why they're called psychics, because they're able to do what we really generally can't. What I'm trying to explain is we can all do what I'm doing.
Oh, and I think we can all do what they're doing too, except that some of us are just more proficient at it.
Maybe they were either born with it or whatever.
Yeah,
I think it all has to be related somehow. A really good psychic would be somebody that can do it, you know, completely conscious, where I have to be either sleeping or like you said, in hypnotic state or lucid state.
Right.
And I don't know if I could, like I said before, I don't know if I could deal with it. If I could do this during the day, I might be in a mental institution. I mean, seriously. I mean, if this was going on in the day, I think people would think, you know, I'm more nuts than they think I am right now.
Yeah, I don't think you're nuts. I don't think you're nuts, and I think all of us are capable.
Yeah.
It's just that some of us, you know, it comes easier to some of us. And I guess, and also, if you believe, then things will come to you more. It's like, it's that old story, you know, if somebody's walking around when, you know, things happen that show them that there's, that it's not as simple as it seems, and they say, oh, that's just a coincidence.
Hey, I'm sorry to cut you off, but thanks. I got about 10 seconds on the phone. Thanks for coming on. I got to take off, Kevin. Can you take over?
Take over, Brian.
Okay.
I don't know if I mentioned in the beginning, but Brian couldn't be with us that long because he had something to go do. Last week, I had a dream that me and Brian were together in a strange place, and we had this little girl with us, and she was real playful, real happy with us. It was like we just found her, I think. And she started running away from us, and I just kind of was in shock because she ran away, and Brian looked at me and said, well, go get her, Kevin. And so I started running after her, and as I ran after her, she started turning invisible. And then I finally caught up to her, and she turned back to a normal human being. Then I found me and her in this strange place. It was like a dark place. And either a cave or an old building, and there were other children there, and the little girl zipped away, you know, that quick as soon as I realized where we were at, and I couldn't find her. The strange part about this dream is that Brian said he had a dream similar to that, and possibly, quite possibly on the same night that I had that dream, except that I was with Brian in his dream, and I think I had a camera or something, he said, and I was more or less like a director or a producer or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I guess I was either filming the scenery around us or him and a little girl walking around, you know, happy and playful. And
how did you feel in the dream?
How did I feel?
Yeah.
I felt that it was something very, very important. And about a week or two prior to that, me and Brian began an endeavor to try to raise money for us to go to Portugal to go find Madeline McCain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've heard of her. I think
yes, I have.
Okay. And a lot of readers of Brian's website have been basically begging for him to go, and he's declined to go several times. And I've even told him not to go, based on the fact that he has dreams, and that would change who he is in the public's eye. But that's here and done already, and we've already begun to fund for donations for that, which I believe he's already closed it because he has enough money to go. And it turns out that he's the one that's going to be going to Portugal, I believe. Unless things change for me and my job and where I'm at.
Right.
And we want to use the fund to help find other kids, too. It was just strange, you know, that after that weekend of us, you know, getting involved in this and just going heads first into some things that we really didn't know what we were doing. And a lot of people, you know, when you're in the public spotlight, people expect you to do things, and you're basically an expert sometimes in their eyes. And a lot of things can go haywire if you don't look out when you jump into something. But the dream is what I'm interested in, that we both had, and we believe that both dreams are similar in nature.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah, and it's the first time I've ever had a dream that somebody else was involved in a dream, and then the next day they say, well, hey, I had the same dream, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's definitely, you know, due to a little bit of stress and overworked, working over the weekends trying to get the fund together, and just talking to countless people via emails, you know.
Trying to raise the funds.
Yeah, to raise the funds. Yeah.
Right. And it's an interesting image that you use about her being there and then being invisible, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, have you ever encountered two people who said they had basically, who believe they've had the same dream?
Yes. Linda Lane McGallion wrote a whole book about that.
Okay.
And a very interesting book.
But I've a lot of people have made connections to Brian throughout the few years that he's had his website open.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that they've had basically the same dreams that he has had. And it's not the placebo effect or anything, because it's like, you know, you just had a dream and then you talk to the person and then you both find out at the same time that, you know, hey, I believe this dream is about us, you know, and we were involved.
Right. But I think, I mean, certainly you've had occasion where you're talking to a friend of yours or a family member and you both come out with the same thing at the same time? Have you had that experience?
No, I've had when I was
Or
a kid.
Somebody comes to you and says to you, I mean, how many times did, you know, my husband, for example, go in for a shower in the morning and I haven't even spoken to him yet, and I'll be thinking that I want to go to a movie tonight, and he'll walk out of the bathroom after his shower and say, hey, you want to go to a movie tonight? And I was just thinking that 2 minutes before, and yet we hadn't talked about it.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that's part of what goes on, is that, you know, dreaming is the same thing as thinking, except it's, or talking, except it's talking with pictures and metaphors. And so, you know, for example, the word movie isn't necessarily in the form of a word in a dream, right?
Right.
It might be a picture of a film, or it might be a picture of a movie screen, or it might be a picture of a chair in a theater, or it might be, you know, my first girlfriend when I was 7 years old that I went to a first movie with, or it might be Toby Tyler might appear in my dream, who was the first movie that I ever went to see. He was it was a movie about a circus. So I just named you about 5, 6, 7 pictures that all can mean the word movie. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I'm sorry. Brian just messaged me. Apparently he believes he knows what that torture dream was about.
Good.
Well, I don't know if it's that good. He let me go back here. Gosh. He says,
well,
I
mean that he figured it out.
Sure, yes. I know what the dream was about. And then he comes back and says, Dad is in the hospital. And my answer was, huh? And then it says, Dad is in ICU, and I say, what dream? And he says, Mom just called and I hung up. And then he says, torture. And then he says, very second, really talking to Mom. I say, okay. Want me to say it live? And he says, yes. And I said, okay.
His father is in the ICU.
And he says, 105 fever. And I said, do you mean the dream about you in torture chamber, right? And he says, yes. Mom is going back to hospital right now. Give me a call when show is over. Oh, boy.
Oh, so his dad is very, very sick.
Yes, he says. And then he says, yes, I was burning up, and so was he. So apparently he believes that dream was about him and his dad, or his dad.
Right, right. Well, that makes some sense to me. You know, for me, in my 30 years of experience, I must tell you, I mean, I know that it's so fascinating to look at the wilder side of dreams and, you know, and the PSI aspect of dreams, and I absolutely respect looking at that phenomenon. But in my experience, and Brian has just proved it again, you know, dreams, when you decode what the images are about, they're never that strange. They start to make some sense, don't they?
I believe they do at some point. It just depends on when the dreamer can interpret them.
Well, that's why I wrote my book.
Definitely. Hey, but speaking of your book, where can we get that book again?
You can get it at dreamsdocometrue.ca.
Okay.
www.dreamsdocometrue.ca for Canada.
Okay, great. And that's a definitely book I need to get a hold of. I think everybody should get a hold of a book like that to help them with their dreams.
Yeah, because if you're thinking about a certain subject, your unconscious is like this vast database or dictionary, and it's holding inside it so many different definitions for one word, you see?
Yeah, I think we have to end the program. We're out of time.
Okay, well, thanks very much for having me on.
I am so glad that you got on the program, and I'm sorry about the time schedule and everything, and very, very happy and excited for you to be here.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Kevin.
And Kevin Doyle, thank you, Lainey. And wherever you may be in this world, this is Dream Talk.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
You're listening to globaltalkradio.com.